Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Sing with me. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just makes you do stuff, right? Love. Who remembers their first love? Come on. Now, come on. Let's see it. Come on. Who married your first love? Wait a minute. You don't remember your first love, but you married your first love? How does that work? Isn't love interesting? I can remember, I mean, a friend of mine can remember being in love and it was going to last forever, and you get old and you don't even remember what they look like. What happened to that love? Isn't it funny how love just kind of vanishes or goes away or maybe gets redirected to somebody else? Who remembers their second love? Who remembers their 12th? No, never mind. We won't go away. So interesting, I was thinking about what are things that we love? That love is a strange word for the English language because it means so many things, right? I mean, I have known certain people for many, many years. I won't call her out, but I know for a fact that she loves the Dallas Cowboys. She has like 48 boyfriends, and they're all Dallas Cowboys. She loves the Dallas Cowboys. And if you've ever watched a ball game with this particular person and the Dallas Cowboys are not performing up to her expectations, that is not a pretty sight. So I would never, even though she leads our teens, I would not call her out. So I was thinking about some things that we love. I love my wife. I love my mother. I love my daughter. She's back there going. For those of you who don't know, the Card Connect, that's my daughter. So I'm sure you heard her brag about that many times. But I love my family. I love my friends. I love you all. I lust blackberry cobbler. I don't even know if you can do that, but I love blackberry cobbler. So I wrote down some things that we love. Different people have said they love reading, writing, cats and dogs, night drives, concerts, coffee, winter, thunderstorms, Star Wars, loud music, good food, movies, art. Interesting, I wrote down, or I found, 10 song titles that have the word love in it by the Beatles. Love Me Do. P.S. Honey, I love you. She loves you. What's the next words? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Words of Love, Can't Buy Me Love. And I Love Her. You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. It's Only Love. All You Need Is Love and Real Love. And didn't they have one that went, Love, Love Me Do? You know that I love you. I'll always be true. I'm not singing again, all right? Tom T. Hall wrote this song. It's called I Love. I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, and slow-moving trains and rain. I love little country streams, sleep without dreams, Sunday school in May, and hay. Okay, now he was just reaching to rhyme something there, wasn't he? If I wrote that, I would have said, I love Sunday school in May and gray, is what I would have said. But, and I love you too. I love leaves in the wind, pictures of my friends, birds of the world, and squirrels. And Tom T. Hall is famous for that song. But today I want to talk about that God loves you. God loves you. And this is a kind of love that we can't even fathom. It's called agape love. Now, there's all kinds of different opinions on really what agape love means and everything, but it's a sacrificial love. It's like if you were going to rate loves, agape love would be way up here at number one. We would give it a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. That's agape love. But even though that we talk about it, we don't understand exactly what that means, that God loves you. It's interesting in the book of Jeremiah, and all of you have known this verse, and I've heard it quoted. My children have heard this over and over from their mother. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." See, that's the kind of love he has, that he made, he planned out your life. He has a plan for you. That's love. How many of you had a plan for your children? Was it a positive plan or just, "I hope they don't"? Right? I hope they do, but oh Lord, I really hope they don't. But we had a plan, but he had a plan for us. He loved us so much that he made a plan for us before the foundations of the earth. What kind of love is that? Understandable. We can't understand that kind of love. He says, "For I know," says the Lord, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You see, if I say nothing else today except that God loves you and he has a future and a hope for you, that should encourage you to stop worrying about all the things that are going on in your life. That's easy to say though, right? It's easy to say when you're back here and you don't have a whole lot of things going on in your life because you're not have a very exciting life. So you don't have a whole lot of things going on, but it's hard to say when you're in the midst of the storm. It's hard to say, "God loves me. You know, God loves me. I know God loves me. But if God loves me, then why?" And you can fill it in. Just fill it in. God loves me, but why? Why does this happen? First thing I want to tell you today is do not measure God's love by your situation. Don't do it. Do not. You cannot. Can you imagine if God says, "Okay, I'm going to love you"? Okay, and he's trying to keep track of all these loves he has, the different levels for different people. It's easier for him just to love everybody. And that's interesting because God does love everybody. Because God sent his son to die on the cross. He sacrificed his son to die for everybody. It says, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. He gave his son to who? The world. Right now, do you think it was just the world then or it just continues to be the world? It continues to be the world. See, God isn't trapped by time. So when he gave his son for the world, it was however many there was now to almost 8 billion people now. And who knows what it's going to be when he comes back. I'm hoping when he'll come back when there's 8 billion and one. Man, I want to see that day. God loves you so much that he will come back to get you. He will come to get you. That's how much he loves you. Can anybody guess what the theme of today is? God loves you. And that's all. We hear so many sermons, and well, not in this church so much, not Brother Ken so much, but there's a lot of sermons that they just beat you up. Okay, I could tell you one thing we all have in common. We are all sinners. And we could go through our sins, and if we started on this side of the room, we wouldn't get away from that side of the room. I did hear that the Cowboys don't play till 3, so I've got time. You know, it's been a while since I preached, and I got a lot to say. But today I want to say one thing, that God loves you. And we all know that we're all sinners, don't we? He doesn't have to tell us. But the other thing we have in common is the love of God and the opportunity He gave us to be reconciled with Him. Everybody has the opportunity to be reconciled with God. Everybody. And it's your choice. It's not my choice. I don't get to choose who's reconciled with God. We just witnessed something on TV. You know, I'm sure everybody has an opinion on Amber Geiger and what happened in that situation. But there's one young man that chose to be Jesus in that situation. And I don't care what you believe. He chose to show the love of God through his life and through his words, regardless of the ramifications that might come down upon him. Regardless. Paul said, you know, okay, should I listen to man or should I listen to God? This young man says, should I listen to man or should I listen? Should I care about what people think? But the love he showed that day in that courtroom compares nothing to the love that God has for you. Nothing. So it's not what we think. We don't get to judge who's saved and who's not saved. You know, it's not you can be righteousness to qualify or unrighteousness to unqualify yourself. I guess it's disqualify. I'm from Illinois and we talk however we want. To disqualify yourself. Because he loves us. That's what he has told us. He loves us. He loved the world. He loves all 8 billion of us. He wants the opportunity to be reconciled with us. Now here's the interesting part. He loves you no matter what you've done. Nothing. I want to do this little exercise. Now don't, it's just between you and God, okay? And I know, I want you, first of all, I want you to lay a $20 bill on the floor and close your eyes. I don't even know why I said that, okay? It just... Some things come here and come out here. No, they come out here and they don't come here. That's it. I want you to close your eyes or look down or just act like you're closing your eyes. And I want you to think about the worst thing you've ever done in your life. And I'm telling you, if we start posting those on a screen up here, it would ruin your day, and that's just my stuff. But whatever the worst thing that you've done in your life cannot keep you from the love of God. So it doesn't matter. We know things. We know about people. And we think about how could God love Jeffrey Dahmer? How could God love Charles Manson? Well, my question is, how could God love some of you? Well, Brother Ned, I loved what he'd say. You know, he says, I'm a preacher. I get paid to be good, and you all are good for nothing. But right? How could God love some of us? Because the slightest sin in our life is filthy rags to him. So if that's the case, he couldn't love any of us. But he chose to love us in spite of what we have done. He's chose to love us in spite of what we are going to do in our lives, because we are going to mess up. As sure as we are walking and talking and breathing, we are going to mess up. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to think the wrong thing. We're even going to think we're right and be wrong. We live in a society that judges us on our accomplishments, right? On who we are. So whatever you are, that's what you are. That's what they judge you by, and they classify you by. It's you know, when I was a kid, it was long hair. Oh my gosh, long-haired freaky people need not apply, the song goes. I had a job with the guy owned the motorcycle guy some money for this. It was a sun testing thing for you that are old mechanics. A sun testing big thing there, and he was paying it out, and the guy hated me because I had long hair. And so my boss said, if you will tie your hair in a ponytail on top of your head and put your hat on and look like you have a haircut, he said, as soon as I pay him off, you can walk out and wait on him and take it down while you're waiting on him. I couldn't wait for that day. I couldn't wait. So every day I would tie my hair wasn't real long, it was just like down to here. It wasn't. I would tie my hair in a ponytail, and I would crush my hat on top. Okay, now I look like a cone head, okay, because it's sticking up there. But I would work all day, and then he'd come, and I'd wait on him and be so nice to him. And one day he pulls up, and Don looks at me, and he says, "It's time." I knew what he meant. Before I even got out the door, I took my hat off, took my hair down, and walked out there, and he drove off before I got to him. It was like ding, 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 ding. We had those little things, you know, to get out of the parking lot. That was a great time in my life. But, you know, people judge me by that. I have friends, I have family that have tattoos. They get judged by their tattoos. I bet when Daniel gets put on his body, "I love my dad most," I bet he gets judged by that. He's thinking, "I don't think that's going to happen." But it doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter who we are. God loves us. 1 Timothy says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." That's what Paul said. That Apostle Paul, he says, "I am the worst. Yet God loved me so much that he sent his son for me." Guys, this isn't a sermon on salvation. This is a sermon on how much God loves you. If you are already a Christian, you have been saved by the blood of Jesus. When he gave you that choice, you said yes. That doesn't make him love you any more than the person that said no. Because he loves everyone. And it's a love that we can't understand. But we get the ticket, right? We get the pass. We get the accept of that. Great is thy faithfulness. I love that song. Amanda said that they should know I'm preaching today because the songs are harder. I love that song. I love that song. Because great is thy faithfulness. All I have needed, his hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his love for me and you. He says, for that very reason, because I am the chief sinner, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive an eternal life. So no matter how bad, how stupid, how crazy we got in our lives, God loves us. You know, that we talk, oh, we say, well, what about that unforgivable sin? See, I believe the unforgivable sin is rejecting Christ. Because he can't forgive that because that's your choice. You know, you're just slamming the door on him. But he loves you. He loves you. How many people have you known have turned away from Christ or never just rejected Christ, and then one day, for some reason, God moved in their life and they turned back toward God and became a superstar for Jesus? We all know them. We all know them. There are some in this church. In fact, I would have a list, but it'd be way too long. The second thing I want to tell you is God loves you no matter what you've done, and God will never, ever leave you. He won't leave you. There are times in your life where you will think He has left you. There are times in your life where you wonder, why God? Where are you, God? And some of the worst times are through death. Just looking out among you, those of you who've buried your children and your grandchildren and your wives and your husbands and your dear friends and our dear friends. And we ask why. Where were you, God? Where were you when all this was going on in my life? He was right there. He was right there. You see, one thing about God's love is you don't have to understand God's love to have God's love in your life. It is not based on your understanding of Him. You go flip that switch, it will come on. It does not based on your understanding of electricity. God loves you. And there are some of you who feel today like God has left you. Or He's turned His back on you, or you're not sure where He's at. But I'm telling you, He has not left you. He is with you, and He loves you. And He is directing you and guiding your life. You see, through all these things, through all these tragedies that we have named, and if you haven't experienced one of those tragedies, you've got a tragedy to fill in the spot. You have a tragedy to put right in there. You have something in your life that you're asking, where were you, God? But God was there. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Never. That's never, ever, ever, never a lot. He's not going to... I love this verse. He says to Joshua, I'm paraphrasing. He says, shut up and listen to me, okay? He said, I'm commanding you, Joshua. I want you to hear this. Be strong and courageous. Joshua, stop whining. Man up and be strong and courageous. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Wherever you go. You know, right now I want to call you out by name, but I'm not. But I want to call you out and say, shut up and listen. Be strong and courageous. Because God loves you and He will be with you wherever you go. That's what I want to tell you. So you could just take that verse and fill your own name in, right? I don't have to do it. Boy, I'm tempted. In Deuteronomy, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. All right, now let me get this straight. God is going before me? Like preparing a way for me? I've heard that somewhere. God is going before me? He says, don't worry, be strong and courageous because I am going before you. He said, I will never, ever abandon you. Then Isaiah, this is a little long, but I'm telling you, I could not leave this out. I love this so much. He's talking to Israel. He says, but now, Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. He says, O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will not let you drown. When you go through rivers or difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Saba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. What he said was, listen, O church. He said, listen to me, church. He said, listen to me, you, and you, and you, and you, and me. He said, listen to me. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He has called you by your name. You belong to Him. He loves you. When you go through deep waters, when you lose your child, when you lose your parent, when you lose your spouse, when you lose your grandparents, go through the list. He says, I will not let you down. I will be there for you. He says, I have given my son as ransom for you. He said, I traded his life for your life because you are precious to me. God loves you. Oh my, does God love you? He says, you are honored and I love you. That's some heavy stuff there. The Bible says God is merciful and compassionate. God's love is a love that lasts. He is ever faithful. God delights in you. He has compassion for the helpless. He is seeking the lost. He has sacrificial love for sinners. His love gives new life. You are God's child. God is love. Romans says, first I want to say this. I know you're hearing this, and it may be making some of you feel better. But I also know that Monday morning's come, and I know what happens on Monday morning. I wrote a song one time, and in there it says, Sunday morning worship and Monday morning workload. You have those? You've seen that? You know? We have that. I know that will come. And you will think, today I feel good, and I'm convinced that God loves me, but tomorrow, where is it? Where is it? It's there. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing ever can separate you from the love of God. You try to comprehend God's love by comparing it to your love or your father's love or your parents' love. You cannot compare God's love to anything at all. His love is uncomparable. And he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or Monday mornings? I threw that in there. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor demons, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in His Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to do something different today. You know, for those of you who have been up here in this position and have preached before, I don't preach a lot, but it was not too long ago I preached every Sunday. And when you're up here, you try to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you, God moved in my life last night and yesterday as I was preparing for this. And I'm going to close. This is going to be my closing prayer. This is going to be my altar call. This is going to be whatever you want it to be. I'm going to show you a video. It lasts for 3 minutes and some seconds. I told David to play it loud and proud. But I want you to listen closely to the words of this song. And if in any way it moves you to come to the altar, I will be here and we will pray together. But before I close, I want to tell you one thing. The most profound thing you will ever find in the Bible is this. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. Oh, they are weak. Oh, He is strong.
Turn to the person next to you and tell them that Jesus loves you. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your Spirit being with us. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for your love that you have for us, regardless of who we are, who, regardless of what we've done, regardless of how we feel. Lord, we know that you love us in such a way that we cannot fathom it or understand it.
But Father, I pray that your presence would be with us as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name.